This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use I statements the right way when someone's toxic traits make you want to blame instead. Stay in control of your words when their behaviour makes you want to attack. In short, I statements with toxic traits are not a softening technique. They are a precision tool that keeps you from handing a difficult person the ammunition they need to derail the conversation entirely. Toxic behaviour triggers blame because it often genuinely deserves it, which makes I framing feel dishonest or weak. The real skill is separating observable behaviour from character attacks, then naming your own experience with enough specificity to be undeniable. Done right, this approach protects your credibility, reduces escalation, and keeps the focus where it belongs on what happened and what needs to change. Definition: I statements toxic situations involve sentences structured around your own feelings and the impact of a specific behaviour, deliberately avoiding character accusations. They are designed to reduce defensive reactions in high conflict exchanges while keeping your position honest and clear in 30 to 50 words. There's a particular kind of frustration that comes when you've been treated badly by someone who has made a habit of it. You know the I statement formula. You have heard the advice. But when you sit down to write I feel about someone who regularly undermines, manipulates, or dismisses people around them, it feels absurd. Constructing an I statement in the face of genuine toxic traits can feel like apologizing for their behavior. One manager I worked with spent 2 hours crafting a carefully worded statement for a colleague who had publicly humiliated her in front of her team. She came back to me the next week and said, "He laughed at it." The problem was not the tool. The problem was she had not been taught how to use it against a specific kind of opponent. Why blame feels honest when toxic traits are involved? Most communication advice treats blame as a simple thinking error. Just reframe, they say. Take ownership. But when someone has a pattern of manipulating, deflecting, or deliberately shifting goalposts, blame is not always a cognitive distortion. Sometimes it is an accurate reading of the situation. The real problem is not that you want to blame. The real problem is that blame statements hand the other person exactly what they need. A toxic person thrives in a conversation full of character accusations because they can argue about intent, deny their nature, and cast themselves as the victim of your attack. The moment you say you're manipulative, you have left the territory of provable fact and entered a debate you cannot win. I statements with toxic traits work not because they are more polite, but because they are harder to refute. You are not asking a difficult person to accept your judgment of their character. You are describing what you experienced. That is a much more defensible position. What you need before you write a single word. Do not start constructing your statement until these three things are in place. First, you need a specific incident, not a pattern. "You always undermine me" is a pattern statement. It will be dismissed immediately. "In Tuesday's meeting, you interrupted me 3 times while I was presenting the budget figures" is an incident. That specificity is what makes the I statement hold. Second, you need emotional distance. If you are still in the heat of the moment, your I statement will collapse into accusation the moment the other person pushes back. Write it out first. Let it sit. Read it again cold. Third, you need clarity about what you actually want from the conversation. If your goal is punishment, no version of this will work. If your goal is a specific behavioural change or a clear boundary, you have somewhere to go. Know that destination before you start. How to build an I statement that holds up against toxic traits. This is a 6-step process. Each step matters. Skipping one in the middle costs you the whole thing. Number 1. Identify the single behaviour you're addressing. Not the pattern, not the personality. One observable action. When the deadline was moved without telling me, or when the credit for the project was attributed to someone else in the meeting. Keep it to what anyone in the room could have seen. Number 2. Name the concrete impact, not the emotional wound. The impact is what happened as a result of the behaviour, in practical terms. "I had to redo 3 days of work or I could not give accurate information to my team." Lead with this. It is harder to dismiss than a feeling. Number 3. Add the emotional experience second, and keep it precise. Avoid "I feel disrespected," which sounds like a character judgment in disguise. Try "I felt blindsided" or "I felt unable to do my job well." Single words. Specific to what that incident produced in you. Number 4. Strip out any adjectives that describe the other person. Read your draft back and remove every word that could be interpreted as a character description: dishonest, deliberate, unfair, manipulative, careless. Every one of those is a gift to a defensive person. Number 5. State what you need going forward in concrete terms. This is the part most people leave out, and it is the most important. I need to be included in any changes to the timeline, or I need my contributions credited accurately. One sentence. Present tense. Forward-looking. Number 6. Test it against the could they argue with this rule. Read the finished statement and ask whether a reasonable person could deny the observable behaviour you described. If yes, you are still dealing in interpretation. Sharpen the behaviour description until it is factual. Here is a full example. Instead of, "You always take credit for my work and it makes me feel invisible and disrespected." Try, "When my research was presented as a team contribution without naming me specifically, I lost 2 potential opportunities to demonstrate my work to senior leadership. I felt sidelined. Going forward, I need individual contributions to be credited by name." The second version cannot be argued with as easily, because none of it is an accusation about who someone is. When you're dealing with gaslighting or denial, some toxic traits specifically target your version of events. Gaslighting, chronic denial, and rewriting history are common enough that your I statement needs to be built to withstand them. For scripts that go deeper into addressing these specific patterns, you may also want to have a framework ready before you begin. When you expect denial, anchor your statement in documentation. According to the email sent on Thursday, the scope was agreed as X. When it appeared in the presentation as Y without notice, I had to answer questions I was not prepared for. The email is a fact. Their behavior relative to it is observable. Your experience of the consequence is yours alone. Avoid starting with "I think" or "I believe" in these situations. Both phrases invite a toxic person to substitute their version of what you think or believe. Start with the behavior, then the impact, then the feeling. Keep the sequence consistent. If the conversation is remote or asynchronous, the same principles apply. Written I statements in email or messaging platforms carry the additional benefit of creating a record. The core framework in Say It Right Every Time covers the clarity and empathy elements that apply directly here. Name your position with precision before you deliver it, not after the conversation has already escalated. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The mistakes people make when trying this under pressure. These are the errors I see most consistently, and I have made most of them myself at one point or another. The mistake: targeting emotion without attaching it to a specific behavior. Why it happens: strong feeling needs an outlet, and "I feel dismissed" seems like an I statement because it starts with I. What to do instead: connect every feeling word to the specific action that produced it. When behavior: "I felt specific feeling because practical consequence." The mistake: including the word "you" more than once. Why it happens: you're describing someone else's behavior, so it keeps appearing naturally. What to do instead: restructure sentences to describe the situation rather than the person. When the meeting agenda was changed instead of when you changed the meeting agenda. The mistake: adding "I feel like you're," which is blame in disguise. Why it happens: it sounds like an I statement because it starts with "I feel." What to do instead: "I feel like you" is always followed by a character judgment. Delete it entirely and replace with a specific impact statement. The mistake: ending with an ultimatum instead of a request. Why it happens: frustration is high, and demands feel like the only thing that will be taken seriously. What to do instead: frame the conclusion as a need, not a consequence. Ultimatums invite resistance. Clear needs invite negotiation. If boundaries truly need enforcing, do that in a separate conversation with separate language. For more on where I statements fit inside broader team conversations, how to use I statements in team conversations to prevent blame cycles goes into how this plays out across group dynamics. Your pre-conversation checklist. Run through this before any difficult exchange involving toxic traits. Print it out if you need to. The behavior I am addressing. One specific, observable action. Can someone who was in the room confirm it happened? Yes or no, the concrete impact. What changed in my work, my relationships, or my ability to function because of it? My feeling word. One word. And does it describe my internal state rather than my judgment of the other person? The account in my statement. Is it one or zero? If more than one, restructure. Any adjectives describing the character. Remove all of them. My forward-looking need. Is it specific enough to be acted on? Is it realistic? My goal for this conversation. Is it a behavioral change or a stated boundary, not punishment? My plan if they deny or deflect. Do I have documentation? Do I know when to stop the exchange? This checklist works equally well in written and spoken conversations. It takes 3 minutes before a difficult interaction and can save you from saying something that undermines everything you've built up. For passive-aggressive patterns specifically, how to address passive-aggressive behavior that is silently eroding team dynamics pairs well with this checklist. When the conversation is part of a larger team problem, individual toxic traits rarely stay individual. They spread into team culture, affect group trust, and often become a pattern others work around in silence. If you're managing someone whose behavior regularly triggers blame cycles in others, a single I statement is not sufficient. You need a framework for consistent, repeated conversations across time. How to give feedback that strengthens team performance instead of breaking it covers how to build that consistency into a team culture. And if the root issue is a conversation you've been avoiding entirely, how to start a difficult conversation that has been blocking your team gives you the entry point. The Say It Right Every Time Guide to the SBVI Method, which stands for Situation, Behavior, and Impact, aligns closely with the six-step process above and gives you a broader framework for delivering this kind of feedback across multiple conversations with the same person over time. High-conflict teams often need more than one approach running simultaneously. Common communication mistakes that quietly damage team trust identifies where most people go wrong at the team level, and how to set boundaries with demanding colleagues addresses what happens when one person's behavior starts requiring you to manage your own limits repeatedly. The line between holding your ground and wasting your energy. Here is the truth of it. I statements with toxic traits are not a cure. They will not reform the other person. A deeply difficult person will sometimes dismiss everything you say, no matter how precisely you have constructed it. What the I statement gives you is not control over their response. It gives you control over your own conduct. When you leave a hard conversation having spoken clearly, specifically, and without attack, you have done your part. You have not escalated. You have not handed them ammunition. You have not given them a character accusation to wave around later. That matters. Not because it changes them, but because it changes what kind of communicator you become over time. I spent years trying to find the right words to make difficult people finally listen. What I eventually learned is that the right words are for you as much as for them. Using I statements in toxic situations will not always get you what you want from the other person, but they will consistently get you something more durable, the respect that comes from knowing you handled it with strength. Frequently asked questions. What are I statements with toxic traits? I statements with toxic traits are sentences that describe your own feelings and the impact of someone else's specific behavior, without labeling their character or assigning blame. They keep the focus on what you experienced, which reduces the chance of escalation with a difficult or manipulative person. Why do I statements fail with toxic people? I statements often fail with toxic people because they are built too broadly, include hidden blame, or target the person's character instead of a specific behavior. A toxic person will use any hint of accusation to deflect, dismiss, or turn the conversation against you. How do I use I statements in toxic situations without sounding weak? Pair your I statement with a clear, direct request or boundary. Naming your experience honestly and stating what you need is not weakness. It is the most controlled, confident communication you can do when someone's behavior is pushing you toward an emotional reaction. What is the difference between an I statement and a blame statement? A blame statement targets the person. You are manipulative and dishonest. An I statement targets the behavior and its impact. When agreements are changed without notice, I cannot plan my work reliably. The first invites a fight. The second opens a path forward. Can I statements work on someone with genuinely toxic traits? I statements will not fix a person with toxic traits, and they are not meant to. Their purpose is to keep you grounded, reduce escalation, and give you a clear record of what you said and how you said it. You cannot control the other person. You can control your own communication. What should I do when a toxic person dismisses my I statement? Stay calm and repeat the core of your statement without adding new accusations. If they continue to dismiss or escalate, name what is happening. I notice this conversation is not moving forward. Then end the exchange. You are not required to convince them. You are required only to speak clearly. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.